Friday, March 1st, 2019. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together every single weekday. We talk sports with a dose of common sense, and we are happy to have you here with us today. Happy Friday to you, and can you believe that we are already in March? It is March 1st now. That snuck up on us really, really fast. Hey, happy birthday to one of the most important commissioners in NFL history, as Pete Rozelle was born on March 1st back in 1926. You know, Pete Rozelle is credited with turning the NFL into one of the most successful pro sports leagues in history. Rozelle actually got the job at the age of 33 when the previous commissioner, Burt Bell, passed away unexpectedly. And when you think back, Rozelle is credited with a number of accomplishments. First, he moved the headquarters of the league to New York City, but he also engineered the merger between the AFL and the NFL, which of course gave us the league we have today. And he helped create Monday Night Football and watching pro football games during prime time. Pete Rozelle took a league on the verge of doing something and actually took it to that next level. Of course, Rozelle passed away back in 1996, but he left the league looking very, very different than it had looked when he actually first started the job. You know, I wonder what Pete Rozelle would think of today's version of the NFL. I have a sneaking suspicion he might freak out a little when he saw some of the rules, when he saw some of the goofy things the owners try to do today, but it was on this day that Pete Rozelle was born. Hey, if you'd like to contact us, maybe let us know why you think Pete Rozelle is spinning in his grave right now when he sees the current NFL. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or you can go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Doesn't have to be NFL or Pete Rozelle related. Maybe you've got a comment. Maybe you have some feedback for the show. Hey, I want to reach out and say this. I have had a number of people give feedback to the show this week. People just reaching out, asking questions, giving some feedback on the show this week. Just want to say thank you for doing that. But remember, that is always welcome. Bring it. We want to hear from our listeners at the Daily Dose. We're fortunate. We actually have smart listeners, so we definitely want to hear what it is you have to say. Also, make sure that you stop by tpublic.com where you can find the latest Daily Dose gear. Just search Daily Dose when you get there. Scroll down until you see our logo, and there you can find a number of Daily Dose items, from t-shirts to hoodies to coffee mugs to stickers. They've got a number of Daily Dose items over there, so make sure that you stop by and pick some up. And I am telling you right now, there is something in the works. We're going to have something coming out for you very, very soon. You're going to have to trust me on that, but make sure you stop by tpublic.com. Hey, today on the show, we've got a number of sports news stories coming out. But then, as we do on most Fridays, we will be previewing the weekend in sports and letting you know what might be worth your time to watch this weekend. And then, we will have our Daily Dose Top 5, always a popular segment on the show. You have to make sure that you tune in on Fridays for our Daily Dose Top 5. But like I said, we do have a number of sports news stories coming out, and let's start in the NFL. You know, earlier this week, we asked the question, what height would Oklahoma quarterback Kyler Murray be measured at this week at the NFL Combine in Indianapolis? And yesterday, he got very good news because Kyler Murray measured out at 5'10 and 1/8 as his official height. I'm just saying it right now. I am going to call it right now. Dude is going to go in the top 10. As insane as that is, basically because of the fact that he measured over 5'10. I don't know what it is, but if he would have measured 5'9 and 5'8, yeah, I don't know if we can take him. That quarter of an inch, I'm telling you, that just might be a little too much for him to overcome. We need a guy that is over 5'10. Otherwise, it's a problem. But now that he came in over 5'10, I think he's going top 10. I think teams are going to fall in love with him. I don't think it's that big of a difference, but I bet it will be to NFL scouts. Now, Kyler Murray did also add some weight. They say he's coming in at around 207, which is roughly about the size of what Russell Wilson was back in his days at the NFL Combine. Of course, Kyler Murray is not expected to throw, and I've actually heard that he put on weight specifically to try to bulk up to the size of Russell Wilson, And that is why he's not going to throw, because I don't think he's going to look so good throwing at that weight. He'll probably drop back down. But they say he was chugging water as he was walking up to the scales. So, hey, Kyler Murray got the measurement that I'm sure he wanted. Some other news in the NFL, though. They are saying that tight end Jason Witten is returning to the Dallas Cowboys. That is what the team announced yesterday. Jason Witten is going to leave ESPN's Monday Night Football crew and return to the playing field less than 1 year after announcing his retirement. Now, Witten played in 11 Pro Bowls in his 15 years with the Cowboys. He is the franchise leader in both receptions and receiving yards. Plus, he also played in more games, played in more consecutive games, started more consecutive games than any player in Dallas Cowboys history. And hey, I never want to tell a guy when they should retire. If you want to keep playing, it's your life. Play as long as you want to. And maybe Jason Witten just wasn't that comfortable in the ESPN booth. Maybe he was looking at Tony Romo and saying, yeah, I can't do what he does. He's making me look really bad because I'm not nearly as good at this whole booth thing as what Tony Romo is. But I will say this, that's gotta be a tough job for Jason Witten to walk away from. I mean, grow into that job a little, get better at that job, and your life after football is underway. Now, we'll have to see where he ends up, but you're gonna have to walk away from football at some point. But I guess Witten wants to play some more. That's up to him. You know, I did get a text yesterday when this news came out from Big Rob, obviously a major contributor to the show. He stopped by a few times, but Big Rob dropped this gem on me yesterday. Here is the question of the day. Who can stay retired longer, Jason Witten or Antonio Gates? And, you know, that's a really good thought because they're both struggling staying off the field. Hey, it is tough for these guys to be playing at the highest level anywhere and then just to go from 100 miles an hour to zero. It has got to be very, very tough to walk away. And we are obviously seeing Jason Witten is struggling with it. Let's shift over to Major League Baseball because we did finally get some big news in Major League Baseball yesterday because the Philadelphia Phillies appear to have won the Bryce Harper sweepstakes, finalizing a 13-year, $330 million deal with the free agent outfielder. Now, they were saying that right up until he signed it, he was still considering maybe the Los Angeles Dodgers. He was still considering the San Francisco Giants, but that the Philadelphia Phillies were offering more money than anyone. They were just saying he didn't really want to go to Philadelphia. He really wanted to go back to LA, but LA wasn't in a bidding war. They didn't care if they got him or not. Hey, they have left-handers in their lineup. They didn't need him. If he wanted to come for a bargain, then I guess they would take him. But the Philadelphia Phillies win that. And now it's going to be really interesting because I want you to think about this from the perspective of Bryce Harper. He's going to go back to Washington. He's going to get booed. He's going to go to LA and San Francisco. He's going to get booed. And you know where else he's going to get booed a lot if he doesn't produce? Yeah, right there in Philadelphia, because we know how those fans are. Bryce Harper, good luck with all that. And by the way, I know that the narrative is that the Philadelphia Phillies won. Are you sure you won? I mean, please keep in mind that you just signed a guy to a 13-year, $330 million deal, and that in his history in the league, a Bryce Harper team has never even won a playoff series. And those were some loaded teams. Those were some very good teams. Now, I do think the Phillies are headed in the right direction. They've got some very good pieces back there. But I mean, I know that everyone is looking at this as the Philadelphia Phillies being the winners, but let's kind of wait and see if they actually win anything before we declare that. Hey, finally, I know this story came out earlier this week, and I know that here at the Daily Dose, we tend to laugh at a lot of the sports world with good reason. But here is a story that we have to touch on, because I don't know if you saw this or not. It's not getting that much airplay, and it certainly should be. But here's a story that we need to talk about. Former NBA great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is auctioning off a ton of his special artifacts from his legendary NBA career. Not because he has money issues, not because he's struggling, not because he has blown all his money and he is now broke, but instead to help kids through his Skyhook Foundation, the NBA's all-time leading scorers charity that helps kids learn more about science, technology, engineering, and math. And they say that he's more than fine with saying goodbye to some of these items. He doesn't really care. Besides the 1980, 1985, 1987, and 1988 championship rings that he earned as a member of the Los Angeles Lakers. Abdul-Jabbar is also auctioning off a game-used, signed, and inscribed basketball from his final game in 1989. But Abdul-Jabbar says, when it comes to choosing between storing a championship ring or storing a trophy in a room or providing kids with an opportunity to change their lives, the choice is pretty simple. Sell it all. Abdul-Jabbar wrote this on his blog as he stated why he was auctioning off these valuables from his sports history. Hey, like I said, I know we laugh at the sports world a lot. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, make no mistake, you are the real MVP, and we have to recognize what he is doing right now. Hey, coming back, we are going to be previewing the weekend in sports. March Madness is coming quickly, and we are going to have some very good games as we begin to get ready for conference tournaments, which are starting soon. We've got a number of things for you to watch this weekend. So let's shift over to our weekend sports preview. We try to just let you know how to kind of plan your weekend and give you an idea of what games are going to be out there that you might want to pencil in on your schedule. You don't want to be stuck doing something maybe you didn't even have to do when there was a big game on that if you would have known it was on, you would have tuned in for it. On Fridays, we try to let you know when the best games are coming so that you can kind of block off that time and make sure that you get to see the best games that are going to be out there. Now, we do also pick the games. Last week, we struggled a little bit. I went 5-6 on my picks. I've got to be better this week. That is what I get, kids, for picking Alliance of American Football games. I don't know anything about the Alliance of American Football. I don't think the Alliance of American Football knows anything about the Alliance of American Football. They're just trying to fill in some games. I gotta stop doing that because that's hurting my picks. But let's take a look at what is going to be out there this weekend for you to watch. Remember, all times given are Mountain Time Zone, so adjust your schedules accordingly. Let's get started tonight because March Madness is coming and we have another under the radar game for you to watch on Friday night where you might get to see a team that could be making the dance in a few weeks, but you wouldn't see them otherwise. Because at 5 p.m. tonight, we have an Atlantic Sun matchup between the first place Liberty Flames and the fourth place New Jersey Institute of Technology Highlanders. Now, Liberty is coached by former Colorado State and New Mexico head coach Richie McKay, and he has himself a pretty decent team at Liberty. The Flames are trying to make the big dance for just the fourth time in their school's history. Liberty blew NJIT out the first time they met, so you know the Highlanders would like to get a little revenge, but that game does start tonight at 5 p.m. I will take Liberty in that one. But then we have a couple of very good NBA games, and we've got a really good NBA game at 6 p.m. tonight as the Portland Trailblazers, who are hot right now. Coming out of the All-Star break, Portland is playing as good as anyone. They go to Toronto tonight to face the Raptors at 6 p.m. Toronto, I believe, is going to improve down the stretch now that they have big man Marc Gasol in the lineup. And Kawhi Leonard should actually be on the floor. I know Kawhi is sitting out games here and there when he doesn't feel like playing. He should be playing in this game. Meanwhile, the Blazers will be a really interesting matchup because remember, they have Yusuf Nurkic and Enes Kanter inside. That's not a bad lineup inside in the paint. And the Blazers have been excellent this year against the East. I am struggling who to pick in this game because Portland is hot right now. I'm going to go with Toronto at home. I'll probably regret that, but I'll pick the Raptors at home. Also, later tonight, it might not be a battle of the top teams in the league, but if you're just looking for entertainment value, you might want to watch the 8 p.m. game between the Los Angeles Clippers and the Sacramento Kings. Hey, I told you, keep an eye on these Sacramento Kings. With Buddy Hield, Marvin Bagley, and De'Aaron Fox, who is an absolute jet, the Kings are highly entertaining to watch. They are right now sitting at the 9 spot in the West, with the Clippers holding on for dear life at the 7 spot. Now that they've lost Tobias Harris, I am going to take the Kings at home, but if you haven't seen them play much, I would encourage you to tune into that tonight at 8 p.m. Moving on to Saturday, we've got a few games for you, and I'm telling you right now, Michigan State might be back. After going into Ann Arbor last weekend and beating the Wolverines, hey, it sure looks like the Spartans might be a contender again. I told you last week, I really like Cassius Winston, and he dropped 27 points on Michigan. On Saturday at 10 a.m., the Michigan State Spartans go to Bloomington to face the Indiana Hoosiers, who are struggling to stay above 500. They're trying to maybe somehow make their way into the big dance, but you know they'll at least play tough at home. I'll take Michigan State on the road there, but that's not a bad Saturday morning game. But the marquee matchup of the weekend in college hoops is going to be at noon on Saturday as the number 4 Kentucky Wildcats go to Knoxville, Tennessee to face the number 7 Volunteers. Tennessee needed a crazy finish on Wednesday to slip past Ole Miss. But Kentucky also had to knock down free throws to beat Arkansas earlier this week. Remember, these two just faced each other a few weeks ago, and Kentucky pounded the Vols in Lexington. Can Tennessee get some revenge tomorrow at home? I like Tennessee. I don't like the way they're playing lately, though. I'm going to take Kentucky to win that game on the road. Now, I've got a college basketball matchup here. It's going to be under the radar, but it actually might be very entertaining because the America East Conference regular season title is going to be on the line tomorrow when the Vermont Catamounts go to Stony Brook to face those tricky Stony Brook Seawolves. Vermont is in first place in the America East Conference. Stony Brook is in second place, and they are just a game behind. Vermont's Anthony Lamb, if you haven't seen him, he is a very good player. And Ernie Duncan is the best three-point shooter in Vermont history. Now, if you remember Vermont history at all, they have had some decent shooters up there. This guy's the best they've ever had shooting the three. This should be a really fun game. Like I said, smaller schools, under the radar, but it's a good chance to kind of scout out a team that may be ending up in March Madness, and one of these two teams should make it. I'm going to take Vermont to win this game on the road. We've also got a fun game in the Mountain West tomorrow night. It's at 6:30 p.m. as the number 12 and league-leading Nevada Wolfpack will have to go to Logan, Utah to face the second place Utah State Aggies. Now, while the Mountain West regular season title is on the line, there is more to this game than just that because Nevada is getting into the dance. They are sitting at the number 12 ranking in the country. No question about that. But a win for Utah State over a top 15 ranked team, it might give them a chance to steal an at-large bid too. I'm going to take Nevada, but they had better be careful. If you haven't seen Utah State guard Sam Merrill, kid is no joke. Nevada versus Utah State at 6:30 tomorrow night, not a bad game. Also at 6:30, we have a pretty interesting NBA game because the Golden State Warriors have officially hit the dog days coming off of the NBA All-Star break, and they are struggling, especially at the defensive end. They are allowing more than 115 points per game since that All-Star break, but hey, they don't have time to whine about things because the Philadelphia 76ers are going to be waiting for them on Saturday night at 6:30. The problem for the Sixers right now, they're not the same team without big man Joel Embiid. And he may still miss a few more games with that soreness in his knee. So I think the Sixers could actually cure what is ailing the Warriors right now. I will take the Warriors to win that one on the road. Here's a question for you in the NBA. Because as we look at the standings, one team really stands out. But are the Milwaukee Bucks a bona fide championship contender? Because here's something to think about. Since Christmas, the Bucks are 23-2 in games that Giannis Antetokounmpo has played in. 23-2? That's pretty good. This is going to be the third game of their four-game road trip out west, and it's going to be one of the tougher ones because the Bucks are going to be facing the Utah Jazz, who are currently the number 6 seed in the West, and this is a team in the Jazz that they can just shoot it. They rank 13th in field goal percentage. They rank 3rd in free throw percentage. And then what Utah basically does, they run their offense, and if everything breaks down and they don't have anything, they just go clear. They just go ISO for Donovan Mitchell and just say, hey, create something. And he's pretty good at doing that. I am going to take Milwaukee on the road, but Utah's a sneaky team here. I don't take Milwaukee with a whole lot of confidence. Finally, on Saturday night, we do have UFC 235, and Jon Jones is once again the main event as he will square off against Anthony Smith for that light heavyweight title. But I'm telling you right now, this main event probably isn't going to be worth your money. There are some fights on the undercard that might be worth it, but Smith and Jones, they both like to fight on the outside, but I'm telling you right now, John Jones will take Smith down whenever he wants, and he is going to eventually pound him into submission. And yes, in a few days, we'll probably find out that John Jones has tested positive for, I don't know, crack or crystal meth or heroin or something. You heard it here first. I'm taking John Jones to win easily in UFC 235. But like I said, there's a few undercard fights on that card that you might want to tune in for. Moving on to Sunday, we could have a pretty good NBA game on Sunday at 1:30 p.m. as the warming up Houston Rockets head east to face the, I guess, cooling off Boston Celtics. I guess that's what we should say. The stumbling Boston Celtics. The not playing very well Boston Celtics. But you know that the Celtics are going to play tough at home in this game. I am starting to think in watching Boston that this team hates Kyrie Irving's guts. Their offense looks stagnant with him on the floor. We know he struggles defensively, and he always kind of talks about himself as being a little bit better than everyone else. I really think this team has better effort when he's not on the floor, but he had better be good on Sunday because Chris Paul and James Harden are going to be looking to light him up, and I will take the Houston Rockets to beat a funky Boston team right now. Finally, we finish off the weekend. Don't forget that we do have Championship Sunday of the Honda Classic taking place in Florida. It'll be going all weekend, but this is going to be a brutally tough course at the Honda Classic. We do have all of the big names showing up. Well, except for one. Except for some guy named Tiger. And that might be for the best, because this course, like I said, is not going to be easy. If you're looking to get confidence, this probably won't be the place to do it. Justin Thomas won it last year, and he should be in contention again. But not a bad way to finish off your weekend with the PGA Honda Classic, which should be very entertaining. Decent weekend in sports. Hey, coming back, we need to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. Of course, last weekend, we saw a big name in the NFL completely embarrass himself and sully his very own name. Hey, sometimes these things happen. Wasn't the first time. It won't be the last time. But is there any path for redemption for a guy like that? Now, as we do every Friday, we have got to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. Last weekend, the news broke that New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft is facing criminal charges after being charged with soliciting prostitution at a Florida spa just hours before the Patriots would play in the AFC Championship game. The 77-year-old billionaire faces two counts of soliciting someone to commit prostitution. He allegedly visited the Orchids of Asia Day Spa in Jupiter, Florida on January 19th and again on January 20th. Apparently they had really good service. Now, what does this mean for the New England Patriots? Honestly, probably nothing. What does it mean for Robert Kraft? I mean, I doubt the NFL steps in and does anything, but I won't be surprised to see Robert Kraft just hand the day-to-day duties of ownership to his son and just kind of beat the NFL to the punch and take himself out of the equation. It might be less embarrassing that way, but this is not the first time we have seen someone in the public eye of the sports world have a major fall from grace. Having said that, we have also seen some sports figures somehow bounce back. They are somehow back in the good graces of the sports public. Now, can Robert Kraft bounce back from this? I doubt it. But we have also doubted these next five people. Today, we count down the Daily Dose top five sports redemption stories. Starting off at number five. He is perhaps the most electric quarterback to play in the NFL. He's at least in the conversation. He had wide receiver speed. He had running back moves. And he had a cannon for an arm. He was the ultimate video game create a player, and he was one of the NFL's most popular players when he played with the Atlanta Falcons. He was named to three Pro Bowls. He holds the record for the most career rushing yards by a quarterback and the most rushing yards by a quarterback in a season with over 1,000 yards in the NFL. But of course, we all know how the story ended. Michael Vick's NFL career came to a screeching halt in 2007 when he pleaded guilty for his involvement in a dogfighting ring and he spent 21 months in a federal prison. He ended up being released by the Falcons shortly after going to prison, but Michael Vick wasn't done. After he served his sentence, he ended up signing again with the Philadelphia Eagles in 2009. He was a member of the Eagles for 5 years. He had actually very good statistical seasons in his career, and he ended up being named to a fourth Pro Bowl in 2010. In his final two seasons in the NFL, Michael Vick played for the New York Jets and the Pittsburgh Steelers, each for 1 year, but primarily as a backup. He officially retired from professional football in 2017, and he is now the head coach of the Atlanta Legends in the Alliance of American Football. Hey, Michael Vick went through some heavy stuff. There were people that hated him. Honestly, there were people that would have rather seen him kill humans than what he was doing to dogs. But somehow, he has kind of gotten himself back into the good graces of the general public. I don't think there's a general hatred out there anymore for Michael Vick. Sure, there are pockets of people that don't like him, but for the most part, somehow, Michael Vick has bounced back. He comes in at number 5. Moving on to number 4. Charlie Hustle was a switch hitter. He is the all-time Major League Baseball leader in hits, games played, at-bats, singles, outs. He won 3 World Series rings, 3 batting titles, 1 Most Valuable Player, 2 Gold Gloves, the Rookie of the Year. He made 17 All-Star appearances. But in August of 1989, Pete Rose was penalized with permanent ineligibility from baseball because of accusations that he had gambled on baseball games, both while he had played and while he had managed for the Cincinnati Reds. In 1991, the Baseball Hall of Fame formally voted to ban those that were permanently ineligible from ever being able to be inducted. And after years of public denial, Rose finally admitted in 2004, yes, I did bet on baseball. And yes, I did bet on the Cincinnati Reds. But now, every single year, there is a huge push to get Pete Rose inducted into the Hall of Fame. And you know, he is basically making his living today just doing autograph signings, just doing appearances, because people still love Charlie Hustle. They are still cheering for him to somehow get inducted into the Hall of Fame. He did the worst thing that we look at sports and say he could have done. He gambled on the game. He maybe put the integrity of the game in question. And you know what? He's bounced back. People still cheer for Pete Rose. He comes in at number 4. Moving on to number 3. And our number 3 entry, honestly, he's seen it all. He played his 20-year career with the same franchise. He entered the NBA directly from high school. He won 5 NBA championships with the Los Angeles Lakers. And Kobe Bryant was an 18-time All-Star. Bryant is the first guard in NBA history to play at least 20 seasons. But then came this shocking nightmare. The squeaky clean Kobe Bryant was accused of rape in the summer of 2003. Remember that horrible, surreal press conference when he had his wife sitting next to him and he confessed to adultery, but he denied any rape charges, and then the 19-year-old accuser actually refused to testify against him, so the case was closed. But Kobe's sponsors dropped him. His name basically became a punchline. After the Lakers lost the 2004 NBA Finals, his teammate Shaquille O'Neal was traded to Miami, and Kobe Bryant became the cornerstone of the Lakers. He led the NBA in scoring in 2005-2006, and again the next year. In 2006, he scored a career-high 81 points against the Toronto Raptors, the second most points scored in a single game in league history behind Wilt Chamberlain's famous 100-point game. Bryant won the league's MVP award in 2008. Then, he led the Lakers, basically by himself, to 2 consecutive championships in 2009 and 2010, and he earned the finals MVP award both years. Finally, citing his physical decline, Kobe Bryant announced he would retire after the 2015-2016 season. Remember, he also was an Olympic medalist in basketball. And in 2018, Kobe Bryant won the Academy Award for Best Animated Short Film for his film Dear Basketball. Somehow, Kobe Bryant bounced back from what we all thought was the end of his fame and the end of people loving Kobe Bryant. Don't forget, he collected that Academy Award. in the middle of the hashtag MeToo movement. No one said a word. Everyone loved Kobe Bryant again. Apparently, all is forgotten, and he comes in at number three. Moving on to number two. And our number two entry holds the record as the youngest boxer to win a heavyweight title at 20 years, 4 months, and 22 days old. Mike Tyson won his first 19 professional fights by knockout or stoppage, and 12 of those were in the first round. He won the WBC title in 1986 after he stopped Trevor Burbick in the second round. Then he picked up the WBA and the IBF titles after he beat James Smith and Tony Tucker, and that made Mike Tyson the first heavyweight boxer to simultaneously hold the WBA, the WBC, and the IBF titles. He's the only heavyweight to successfully unify them. But in 1991, it all came crashing down. Mike Tyson was arrested for the rape of an 18-year-old beauty pageant winner by the name of Desiree Washington. A year later, Tyson was sentenced to 6 years in prison, followed by 4 years of probation. Now, he did serve 3 years of his 6-year sentence. But when he was released, Mike Tyson had gone to a bad place. He was talking about eating opponents' children. He was biting ears. He even bit one other fighter on the leg. But look at Mike Tyson now. Dude has rebounded. And I actually think it started with his appearance in the movie The Hangover. Because since then, he has launched a one-man show in Las Vegas. Tyson actually collaborated with film director Spike Lee, and he brought that show to Broadway for a while. And he has now started the Mike Tyson Cares Foundation, which helps kids from broken homes. I don't know how, but Mike Tyson has somehow redeemed himself in the public eye, and he comes in at number two. So who could be our number one sports redemption story? He was one of the most popular athletes of the 21st century. He has been one of the highest paid athletes in the world for a number of years. He is widely considered to be one of the greatest all time in his sport. From August of 99 to September of 2004, and again from June of 2005 to October of 2010, he was the top ranked golfer in the world. That is a huge, huge span. Tiger Woods has won 14 professional major golf championships. He trails just Jack Nicklaus, who leads with 18. Tiger Woods has won 80 PGA Tour events, second only behind Sam Snead. But it all came crashing down in 2009 because Tiger was apparently having a number of extramarital affairs. His ex-wife found out. She chased him with a golf club. He crashed his car. He eventually would get arrested for driving while under the influence of painkillers and alcohol and whatever else. It was a whole thing. Anyways, Tiger's career was completely spiraling out of control. He had bottomed out. He was missing cuts. He could no longer compete physically. And maybe even more important, he could no longer compete mentally. But Tiger Woods is back. If you look at him now, he seems to be at peace. He is starting to compete again. Now, can he ever win another major? I don't know. And maybe it doesn't even matter. Because, like I said, Tiger Woods is back, and when you watch him play now, everyone, and I mean everyone, at the course, on the TV, in the booth, everyone is cheering for Tiger Woods. He fell from grace, but somehow, Tiger Woods is back. I don't know that Robert Kraft can bounce back from any of the things he's being charged with, and he may not even try, but in sports, we love comebacks, and as you saw from our list today, we have seen a few guys come back when we never, ever thought they'd be able to. Hey, it is Friday, and we have made it through another week. I have to say thank you all so much for listening to The Daily Dose. And again, thank you for reaching out. Thank you for sharing the show. We do appreciate that so much. Make sure you stop by tpublic.com and pick up some Daily Dose gear. I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all on Monday. Have a great weekend.